Well, we're in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Just going to look at a few verses this morning because they're packed and they're full. They provoke questions in me that I've had all along. And I hope, in part, over the next few weeks anyway, we answer the question, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We see that in the Scripture. Walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Maybe more importantly, what does it look like? If we knew what it meant, it would be important, but we have to know, how do we live in the Spirit? What does that mean? Well, Paul says it today. He says it. He has so much that he understands, and the people are understanding in part what he's communicating, but he makes the statement. He makes the command. It's a statement of command. He just says, walk in the Spirit, and these people that are listening, these Galatians, need to hear it, because their problem was they were taking confidence in the flesh. And the minute we do that, we will certainly stumble. We won't, and we'll be in the same condition that these Galatians, that were trying to find a righteousness by faith. Now they're trying to, righteousness through the law. Now they're trying to live the Christian life through law keeping. And it just can't happen. It won't happen. And so Paul lays it out so clear. But before we begin, let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we praise you for giving us new birth. We thank you for this new life you've given came from you. We thank you for the Spirit that lives in us. And having been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, we are now being sanctified, growing up by the Holy Spirit. We pray that you give us wisdom and help. Guard us today from the activity of the flesh that will be at war against the Spirit while we hear this message and while we try to listen. Help us, Lord. This is a battle that every one of us who call on the name of Jesus Christ experience every moment. The flesh in conflict with the Spirit. The Spirit in conflict with the flesh. We need wisdom, help, strength, power, even to sit and listen to a message like this in spite of the powerful content of what you've shown us in the Scripture. There is a war that rages right now. Let us sit humbly before you, pleading your grace to be lavished upon us, your Spirit to work in us, for power to be given by you, that we would resist the temptation to drift. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that's so important. Nowhere will we see spiritual warfare take place more intensely than when we're trying to hear the Word of God and listen to it and then apply it. And especially not, we're speaking about in this section of Scripture that's dangerous, because it exposes the conflict that will always be raging as long as you're in your body, that will rage between the Spirit and the flesh. And we'll try to define these terms as we go through today. Last week we looked at verses 13 through 15, and it was beautiful to see how Paul pointed out so clearly the purpose of freedom, the pleasure of freedom in Christ, and the peace of that freedom that we have. But he addressed an issue that was going on in the church so that they would understand that they had two missions, and that was one primary mission resulting from the freedom. And he said, don't indulge the sinful nature, but instead, don't use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. And the second thing he said, instead of that then, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So he's wrapping up this whole talk about the freedom that we have in Christ. And he makes these powerful statements that he'll still enlarge upon as we go through the rest of the letter to the Galatians. But don't misuse your freedom. It's not intended to just only live a life of a do what I want. There's the idea of I do what I want, it's the desires of the flesh. I do what I want according to the Spirit. But he says, don't use that freedom to indulge your sinful nature, and secondly, but use it instead to serve one another in love. That was very important. According to verse 15, these believers must have been busy indulging their flesh, because he tells them, he writes them, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, which would indicate that there must have been bickering going on within the Galatian church and that region of believers. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. In other words, you are going to rip one another apart and divide yourselves completely. And we see clearly they weren't serving one another in love. They were looking out for their own wants, their own desires. And this was a group of people that were sincerely trying to be righteous. And they were being tricked into thinking this righteous life, this religious life that they could live, was the answer to all their prayers. That law-keeping would somehow make life perfectly fine. Listen, Paul's going to point out, when you live a life, a legalistic life, you're living a life in the flesh. You're living a life according to your own fallen nature. And that nature can only produce death. So when he's saying you're bickering, you're fighting, you're biting and devouring, he's saying you people are not living in the Spirit. As much as good as you think you are, you're not. So he tells them in verse 16, I say to you, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You won't be a slave to it. He's pointing out all kinds of things. You're legalists. You're not free. You're in bondage. You're actually slaves. You don't even know that because you're living behind the cloak of religious living. He wants them to think of the fact that it's only as we walk in the Spirit can we refrain from abusing one another. He's thinking within the context of the church, but within our own lives, within our own relationships. He says so simply, as we're going to see this, he wants them to see that the only way, because he's talking about biting and devouring one another in verse 15, that's abusive. They're abusing one another. And I remember something Walter Kaiser, a great teacher of the Bible, said, and he was cautioning pastors. He said, be careful how you speak to your congregation, because they are of the Lord's flock. They're His sheep. They're His beloved. And Paul, there's so much behind anything that we read in Scripture. You keep biting and devouring one another. You abuse the saints of God when you walk in the flesh. When you bite and devour, bicker and complain, murmur and argue and grumble. Where there's strife. Where there's resistance to reconciliation. There is an abuse that takes place. And so Paul would love for them and wants for them, strives in his labor for them, that they would simply live by the Spirit. So instead of biting and devouring, Paul says, I say this, live by the Spirit. Let's read these verses. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Wow. It's so simple. Paul, it's not simple. It is simple, but not. And he's going to enlarge on it over the next week as we look at the remainder of the chapter. But he says, just live by the Spirit. You say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean feel good? Does that mean I have to feel energized? I got to be happy all the time? Is that what that's meaning, living by the Spirit? I don't think so. Some of your versions are going to say it maybe more descriptively, where you can understand what it means. Walk by the Spirit. Keep walking. It's this whole idea about constantly moving forward. Progress. Walk in the Spirit. Keep walking in the Spirit. Keep moving forward with your mind set on things above, as Colossians chapter 3 alludes to. Set your mind on things above. Keep walking in the Spirit. Paul's emphasis is on the life of a Christian, not the end game, but the living of the Christian life right now. Sometimes we think about, it's easy to start thinking only about heaven. Well, someday I won't have these struggles. Well, and that's true. One day you'll lay aside the flesh and you won't have temptation anymore. You'll never be bitter or angry or anything else like that. You'll never have a sinful thought ever again. And we think like that. But in the meantime, our Lord Jesus is so concerned with your keeping until that day that he's given us his Holy Spirit, whose job is to be the voice of God in your spiritual ear. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that you might behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ all the time. Keep you on track for that, that you delight in your God. And in that delighting, throw off everything that entangles and hinders your walk in that your pursuit of knowing God. There's no greater knowledge a person can ever have than the knowing of God. The knowledge of God. An onward, progressive understanding of the expanse and the glory and the incomprehensibility of God. And so Paul says, keep walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. The daily Christian life and the growth in Christian living is something we call sanctification. It's the living out, it's the daily living out of the life of Christ. It's the daily living out of the life of Christ in you or in us. That's sanctification. That is sanctification. Living out daily the life of Christ inside of you. Our Lord Jesus was pursuing a people for himself when he came and lived and ministered and bled and died. And the Bible tells us, we've studied in Galatians, that we're justified through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved. But we're sanctified through the inner working of the Holy Spirit. So we learn from this, you cannot save yourself, right? And you can't produce a daily walk worthy of Christ in your own strength. You can't earn a righteous living apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's responsible for our daily living out the life of Christ that's in us. It's or living in fellowship with Christ every day. It's the Holy Spirit who does this. And because this is true, just as Paul says, you can't justify yourself through obedience to the law. You can't walk this walk apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. We never outgrow our neediness and our dependence upon God the Holy Spirit. The only way that you can live faithfully to the Lord is not by establishing a set of disciplines and laws that you must keep, and I will rigorously keep them in order for me to live a life pleasing to God. The only way, and Paul points this out through the remainder of chapter 5, the only way is to fall in utter dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean just lay back and do nothing. We're going to talk about the activity of the believer in this walk and what it means in relationship to the working of the Holy Spirit. But the only way the Christian can faithfully live out the Christ-honoring life is through the power of the Holy Spirit, under his direction, living out the Christian life according to the will of God through the working of the Holy Spirit. Our outline for this, these three verses is very simple. What are we to do? What we are to do, how we're to live, verse 16, and then what we can expect when we decide we're going to live for Christ daily. And that's verses 17 and 18. Well, maybe we can call the first section our marching orders. It's what we are called to do. It's a command. Thought Christians were outside of commands. I thought we're not under law. We're not under law keeping for righteousness' sake. Our righteousness is found in the person of Jesus Christ, but we are people under command, under the command of the Lord Jesus himself. And Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit. He doesn't say, live by the law. Because wouldn't it be nice for the Galatians? They could have probably formed a compromise with the Judaizers, and Paul would have went along with it if they would have agreed we're justified by faith, but we live the Christian life according to law-keeping. Judaizers would have probably said, okay, we can go there. As it is, there's no compromise because Paul doesn't ever go there. He doesn't say you live by the law or walk by the law every day. It's walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Keep walking in the Spirit. No one is ever going to be justified through law-keeping. No one's ever going to be sanctified through law-keeping. We live to live by the laws such as, well, Colossians points them out. Don't touch, don't look, don't taste. Remember that? To live by those laws or even you must attend church every Sunday. You must read your Bible every day. You must do these things. As a matter of law keeping, as to be used as your faithfulness in them to be used as the measure for your spiritual transformation, or to have a set of laws or expectations as the measure of your spiritual transformation is nothing more than living by the flesh. Now you think, well, is he saying we don't? These things aren't important. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But if you set these laws, do not handle, do not touch, do not taste, do these things that you must follow these disciplines as the measure for your spiritual transformation, you're in trouble. Because you can do that in the flesh. Dependence upon these things for your spiritual strength and your spiritual well-being is ultimately folly. And Paul would be very concerned, and he is concerned, because he says that leads to legalism. And legalism is the very thing that we've been freed from. Live by the Spirit, Paul says, you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, the Holy Spirit uses Bible reading, worship, church attendance, refraining from certain things. The Holy Spirit uses those things to help us along, to work through them for our sanctification. But ultimately, it's not the thing that is going to transform you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. He is the source and sustainer of our Christian life. He is the only power we have in order to carry out the will of God. None of these things that I've talked about are bad in and of themselves, but when they become the driving force, when it becomes the motivation for you to try to do right, it's probable that you're walking in the flesh, in your own strength, and you'll find yourself very disappointed, very upset, because you'll fail to carry out the will of God in Christ Jesus. So live or walk in the Spirit becomes very important. It's not just a Christian cliche. It is the Christian life is found in Christ Jesus and His power. Now, it also tells us, if we see this word live or walk in the Spirit, that it's not just passive. He doesn't say sit down in your wheelchair and let the Holy Spirit wheel you around all the time. He says walk. Get up and walk, he told these people, the lame and the cripples. Jesus had them walking. And what a picture it is for us. He tells you to walk. Get up, take up your mat, and walk. So that we can move in step with him. walk in the Spirit to grow in grace and to progress in the works that God has given us that please Him. So walking and living is not passive. Not at all. We're to trust. If anybody ever tells you I said anything different, that would not be true. We are to trust in God, trust in the Holy Spirit, lay our trusting faith upon Him, but we are to depend on the Holy Spirit. But we are to actively engage in warfare, battle with our flesh, and supplant the desires of the sinful nature through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is never, ever intended to be understood as a life of simply let go and let God. I preached a message on that years ago, and I preached it from that standpoint of just, I was heavily influenced by the book by Hannah Whitall Smith, and she was part of the Quietist movement. The Quakers were living as, and the idea, just let go and let God, just passively be blown along as life takes you, trusting in the Lord. There's a good aspect of that when you think about, I will trust in the Lord no matter my circumstances. But where it falls short is, we're to be militant when it comes to hating the flesh and despising its desires, and continually warming our affections for Christ, heating them up to hot flame, pursuing Him with all our strength and all our might, because the Christian life is never to be a passive endeavor. It was never intended to be that way. We are to be at war with those things that God hates. I am convicted on this as I study this, because I think how lazy I've become as I get older. The more I think about hating the things that God hates and loving the things God loves, the more I find myself tempted to do neither, to be passive and to rest. But it's the time that all Christians need to think about and stand up against the very things that God hates in your own life. Listen to this from Romans chapter 6. It's a proof text for the fact that the Christian life is an active life. Romans 6, 11 through 13. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. Reckon it to be so, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And listen to this. He says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. That is far from passive. There's no passivity in the Christian life. But what there is oftentimes is a weak will and a very weak effort at trusting the Lord and leaning upon Him and holding fast to the Spirit. If we live in the flesh and we try to surround ourselves with a bunch of things that we ourselves are going to have to effort and trust in those protective measures, trusting in the protective measures or the walls that we set up around ourselves for our protection, we will fail. But if we lean with all of our might upon the power of the Holy Spirit, trusting in Him, that means fellowshipping with God through the Spirit, we will find ourselves standing more firmly and walking more faithfully in the Spirit. Romans 13, 14 gives us this call to action. It says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This morning I went into the coat closet and I wasn't even thinking, but I picked up my work coat. It was on the floor of the closet and I started putting it on. Felt funny when I put it on anyway, because I had, different clothes on. And it says I saw the sleeve of it with the paint on it and everything like that. It's like, oh, I've got the wrong coat on. I can't believe I almost wore this thing out here to church, which would have been fine. But what I love about that was I thought, that's the reaction I want when I am putting on the flesh rather than walking in the spirit. I want to have it. I've got the wrong coat on. I want to know I've got the wrong robe on. I want to be wearing Christ, clothing myself with Christ. Now, I had my mind in tune with where I was going to be going. I was coming here to church. I didn't want to wear my work coat. And if we're walking in the Spirit, and you'll know it, you can test yourself usually after the fact, but you'll look and say, I put on the wrong coat last night or yesterday or this morning. Clothe yourselves with Christ. Put on Christ. And if you're, as you pray and as you let the Spirit use prayer in your life to transform you and use the Word of God to transform you, when you've not put on Christ, you'll recognize it. Or you'll see that you're tempted. You're looking in the closet. I'm looking at the coat on the floor. I'm not putting that on right now. I'm looking at works of the flesh, which bring destruction. There's nothing healthful, spiritually healthful, that the flesh can ever produce in you. There can be no compromise with the flesh. The flesh is good, and you, each of us were born with flesh. It's not talking just, Paul's not talking about skin and bones and blood vessels and sinew and all that, tendons and ligaments and cells. He's talking about your nature, your fallen human natures, the flesh. And he's talking to Christians who have a fallen human nature still resident in them, but who also have a new creature, a new creation in Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit. When he made you alive, he gave you a new nature. And so Paul's contrasting, he's telling these believers, as we ourselves are receiving it, that the flesh has nothing good in it. The flesh is at war with that new creature. The flesh is set on destruction. The flesh is, and Scripture contrasts it. We'll look at a few contrasts in just a minute, but the flesh is destructive. Clothe yourselves with Jesus Christ and do not think of how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So when that coat is not the right coat, and you recognize it at some point in time in your daily living, you know the Spirit of God is at work. Now, the right thing to do is not say, if you want this coat off of me, take it off of me. That's not his job. Your job, he's showing you, he's giving you power to do it. Take the coat off. Put it back. Well, don't even put it. Well, I won't go there. That wouldn't be a good. Let's put it back in the closet for another day, because we don't do that. But take the coat off. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? I got to know more about what does that mean. Walk in the Spirit. It's a life immersed in Christ, in His thinking. It's a life that's about trying to think of how we can honor and glorify God. If, when Paul wrote in verse 13. Verse 13 said, you're called to freedom. Don't use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature, but serve one another in love. That entails thinking about how you might serve one another, planning for it, looking for opportunities to serve one another in love. Here he's saying in Romans 13, 14, but it's a companion to verse Galatians 3:5-16. He's saying simply, think about how you might walk in the Spirit. Things to, as you immerse yourself into thinking about what would honor Christ, what would glorify Him, what would help you to be more like Him, what are those things? And this is how we should set our minds. This is walking in the Spirit. Have our minds set on big things, things above, good things above, powerful things, those things which God has to do with. Did you realize, and I think you do, that because you are born again, because the Spirit of Christ lives in you, you actually desire to immerse yourself in Christ. It is what your heart longs for. It's what you were made for. You say, I know that. I didn't have that before I came to Christ, but when I came to Christ, I know that. Now this is what I was made for. The nature of God's created order, the nature of a created being of some sort, like a nature of a creature is fascinating to me. You've heard this before. A cat will always do what a cat's going to do because that's a cat's nature. It's in the nature of a cat. A dog will do what a dog's going to do. It's in the nature of a cat. If you got cats or dog, if you've got a cat in your house and your furniture's all tore up, you can't get mad at the cat. Why? Because a cat just does what a cat does. It's in its nature. You cannot change the nature of a cat and make it a dog. You can't make a dog a cat. You can't make a cow a horse and so on. Neither can you make a fallen human being think high, holy, lofty, God-pleasing thoughts. It just isn't there. It's not in the nature of fallen man to want to promote holiness and righteousness. It's just not in the nature. And because it's not in the nature of fallen man, and we still carry around our fallen human nature in us, the new creature, there's going to be conflict. And that's what Paul talks about in verses 17 and 18. This conflict that rages. And the flesh is not passive, is it? You know it. The flesh is not passive. It wants its way. And it's the trickiest, it's the most devil-like part of our being. It's tricky, cunning, deceitful, wily, rough, brutal, abusive. It has a form of godliness yet denies its power. The flesh is powerful. And that flesh hates God. Hates. And that is part of the consequence of the fall. And so in verse 17, Paul just makes the announcement. Here's the conflict of the ages between the spirit and the flesh. And those natures, you have two natures inside of you. Why couldn't God have taken away the flesh? Because this isn't heaven yet, and I don't know the answer to it. But you have two natures inside of you. Inside of you. And there is a war going on inside, and that's for sure. The flesh holds its nose at anything that is good and righteous and loving and beautiful. The new nature doesn't cling for or hope for holiness, but promotes holiness because it's in its nature to do so. The new nature loves righteousness and loves God because that's what it was created for. The new nature is perfect and complete. I think it's fascinating to think about. The flesh will never be reconciled to God. But the new nature doesn't even need to be sanctified. The battleground, the conflict, is for yourself. The old nature would have yourself to be against holiness and righteousness and against God's glory. Think about every selfish act of yours. What does it desire in that selfish act, in that moment of selfishness or season of selfishness, how much desire do you have for the glory of God? I can tell you the answer, zero. But when you walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit's working to transform yourself, your inner self, to where you're making God-honoring decisions, You know it, because the new creature you are in Christ, you know that that's right. And you know it's beautiful. And you know it's healthful, spiritually healthful. But Paul says they are in conflict with each other all the time so that you don't do what you want. Now, I was reading a lot on this part because there were some that said they're in conflict with each other so that you don't do what you want. Says it right here. So that you don't do what you want to. Some said so that you don't act on the flesh. Some wrote so that you don't act on the spirit. I think it's both. You're in conflict. The things I want to do, I find I'm not doing those. And the things I don't want to do, that I find myself doing. But I think Paul's even alluding to something greater. You don't do what you want. Your flesh never wants, will carry out righteousness. And the spirit wants to carry out, the new man will carry out righteousness. You don't, so he says, they're in conflict with each other so that you don't do what you want. The spirit conflicted, fighting against the flesh, so the flesh is held at bay. And the flesh will work continually to try to quench your desires to please God. And there's this conflict. You say, I want to do good. I want to please God. But then at the same time, you know that you have times where you have failed to carry out what you knew was right, and instead you gave in to the flesh. The flesh has only the capacity to serve self, selfish desires, sinful desires. It can only serve sin, and it's happy to do it, and it can only serve selfish desires. The new nature is empowered by the Spirit and always only longs to please God. And Paul's telling us, he's saying so loud and so clear, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. It's you. It's yourself, the self. The Spirit works in you to cause you to live according to the Spirit and what the Spirit desires. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's you that the flesh would love to dominate and control and hold in captivity and slavery to sin. And Paul says, walk in the Spirit. And he gives them, and as we've talked about, but he closes out in verse 18, if you do this, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. That's my hope and desire over the next couple weeks as we get into the specifics of this chapter, of what he talks about, as he's going to contrast the acts of the sinful nature and the acts of the Spirit of God in us. I hope that you'll be able to better identify in your own life when the flesh is at work and when the Spirit's at work. I think of all kinds of things when it comes to how deceitful the Spirit, the flesh is. You may say to God, oh, how sorry I am for the sin I just did, the thought I just had. Meanwhile, the flesh is smiling, going, yeah, that's a way to talk right there. That'll get God's approval. Do more of that confession like that. Makes it feel good. It's a work of the flesh. And we war, it's in conflict because the Spirit's going, no! Do not give room for the flesh, but yet the flesh is constantly crowding. Will there be a perfect life where you finally get, you walk where there is no conflict? The answer to that is no. But the difference between a person that's walking in obedience to what Paul is saying and the person that's not is that the person who's walking in obedience is constantly thinking of how to please God by trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray and ask the Lord to give us grace. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. I think this is a hard concept to think about. I pray that your Spirit would work in each of us to cause us to think about the conflict that we all go through, that we might instead of succumbing to fear and the flesh, that we would instead trust in you. Lord, I pray that your word would sink solid in our hearts and minds, that we can see victory in our lives, triumph over the flesh in the power of the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, yes. And I'll read this as our doxology. Now to him, this is perfect. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.